Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is the last Sabbath in the month of December. A couple of notes to cover before we begin. Here's a special report. Paschal Lamb could be sacrificed on Temple Mount for the first time in 2,000 years. However, what they claim is the Temple Mount is not the Temple Mount. And it shows a picture of it here. They even say thanks to Trump. Well, I don't know how Trump figures in on that, because it's the rabbis who are doing it. Now, you can probably get this online and download a little more information for you, but the altar is made of concrete block. What does it say the altar has to be if you don't have the official constructed altar? It has to be of whole stones on the ground. You're not to take a tool to it. You are not to write on it. See? So this shows you how far the Jews are really from God, yet they think they're the chosen ones, and they're going to offer the Paschal Lamb. Okay. Well, they're not going to. If they offer it, then what they're going to have to do is quickly remove it so they don't have a riot of the Muslims. So, remember this. Their minds are blinded. And they are not looking for God to come to the earth as the Messiah. They're looking for a human man. Okay? So some people get all excited and say, oh, well, we're getting close to the end. Well, we're closer to the end than we have ever been. But we're still not at the end, because we don't know how far the end is going to be, and we never know with the extension of repentance whether God will delay it somewhat or not. We don't know. Now, speaking of the Passover, I mentioned last time the Christian Passover book, and you need this book, and if you don't have it, write for it, read through it, because if you don't understand the details of it, and the details are important, too many people today, because of the quick communications that we have and cell phones and so forth, they don't get the details that are necessary. Well, let me tell you what started this book. Here's a paper, The Passover in the Bible and the Church Today, by Lester Grabe and Robert Kuhn. This is a full frontal attack that occurred in WCG in 1977-78 against the Passover, trying to move it to the 15th. So convincing were their arguments that even Ted Armstrong believed what they said and said the Passover was on the 15th, but we take the Lord's Supper on the 14th. Remember when the term Lord's Supper finally came into the church? Well, that's how it came into the church. So you need to understand. You need to read the details. You need to understand everything in this book. That's vitally important. Now, if you can't read, we have it on CDs. And we will send this paper out with your order of the Passover book, because this will help you to understand what happened. Now, let me ask you a question, since we're on the Passover, before we get into the message for today. Okay. What was the sacrifice in Exodus 12 for the Passover for? It was offered right after sunset as the 14th began between the two evenings. What did they do with the blood? They put it on the side post and the lintel, not the door. Side post and the lintel. Okay? Why did they do that? So the angel would pass over. Where do we get the word Passover? Exodus 12. This is the Lord's Passover. In this paper, the Jew, Robert Kuhn, who has three PhDs, says, we don't know where the term Passover came from. So you need to know all the details. Now, what is the difference between the meaning of the Paschal Lamb in Exodus 12 and for us as Christians? What is the difference? Jesus was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, right? Okay. Why is the one in Exodus 12 different? All sacrifices still are a foretaste of Christ's sacrifice. The Passover, for those who are Christ's, is for the forgiveness of their sins. Right? Okay. The sacrificial lamb in Exodus 12 was not for the forgiveness of sin. It was so God would pass over their houses and they would, the firstborn would not be killed. Okay. Now, you need to also have this book because you need to understand what are the differences between the sacrifice of the Passover lamb on the 14th and the Passover offerings of Deuteronomy 16. Now, that's very tricky, and you must know the details. The Jews say the Passover is commemorating their leaving Egypt. But that's not true. The Passover commemorates sparing their firstborn. They left Egypt beginning the next evening, beginning the 15th day of the first month. See? So, you read Exodus 12 about the offerings for the redemption of the firstborn, and that will tell you why the sacrifices in Deuteronomy 16 are not Passover sacrifices, but Passover offerings on the day portion of the Passover for the redemption of the firstborn. And the key to that is when you read it in Deuteronomy 16, there are two keys. And you'll never know it if you read the King James. Okay? What are those two keys? Number one, it was to be offered from the flock or the herd. Have you ever heard of the Passover calf? No. See? And they were to be boiled. In Exodus 12, they were to be burned with fire and distinctly told, do not boil at all. See, so if you don't know those details, you don't understand the Bible, and you will be surprised how many people fell for this attack against the Passover, because the best way to destroy Christians is to get them out of covenant with God. And the way you get them out of covenant with God is destroy their knowledge of the Passover, and they do it on the wrong day. See? Now, that's to say nothing of the Protestants and Catholics, but that's why it's so important. All right. A lot of people are going to be depressed. Some are going to be angry. Others are going to be happy if Trump does not get the presidency. He only has two ways to do it. Number one, that the Supreme Court takes several of those cases that they brought and they make a ruling in his favor. Okay. Number two, if there's such a controversy that they can't seat all the electors and guarantee the electors have given enough election electors to Biden. And if there's not enough for Biden or enough for Trump, the last thing is the House of Representatives, where each state has one vote. And that's in the Constitution. But in the meantime, there are some people already distressed over the fact that Trump is having difficulties. Some of them are downright afflicted by their own emotions in a tailspin going down. Well, did God say the nation was going to go down sooner or later? Okay, it has to happen sometime. And those who are in it, they're not going to like it. And we're not going to like it when it happens here. So you also need to ask the question, is God really, whose side is God on, or has God left it to the choice of the people to see what his action will be? See? So we don't know. It could go either way. However, let's look at things this way. Why do we have afflictions? All right? So the title for this sermon will be, why do we have afflictions? Why do we have those things coming upon us? Okay? Now, when they come, and how many have we seen give up when they come? See? Now, if you give up because you see a man sin, well, don't be surprised. Have you found the perfect one yet? Are you perfect? No. But we have trials and difficulties. So come here to Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Let's go back to verse 8, because this looks a lot like what happened in the election. The election looks like all the establishment governments in all the world are against Trump. See? Okay, Proverbs 24, Verse 8, he who plots to do evil. Now, someone had to plot all of these evil connivings that have happened in the election. Right? Could the transportation of over 200,000 votes in a truck from New York to Pennsylvania have been just a mild accident that just occurred? No. Shall be called a master of devious thoughts. Boy, isn't that true. Doublespeak. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Now notice verse 10. If you faint, or that is, you give in to your weaknesses, in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Okay. So we're going to have strength to endure. Now, let's come here to Psalm 119. Let's ask the question, why do we have trials and tribulation? And I'm sure we all go through them. Have we had a lot of those in the church down through the time of our existence in the church and still going on? Yes. Okay. Let's pick it up here, verse 30. I've chosen the way of truth. That's number one reason you have troubles and difficulties. Why? Because truth to the world is not truth to you. See, it's the truth of God that is important. Okay. I have laid your judgments before me. So whatever God says, that's what it will be. Verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment. Now, how are you going to know good judgment unless you know the word of God and unless you can see bad judgment out in the world? And you have something to look at, something you can compare with to understand what's going on. Teach me your judgment. Now, did you hear what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did to Trump's appeal? This is plain stupid. They said, we will hear it after the inauguration. That's not even political. That is just blatant stupidity as well as political. Okay. Good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed your commandments. That's what sets us apart from the world. The laws of God and the truth of God, commandments of God. Okay. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept your word. That tells you in a whole one verse the whole purpose of trials. See? For you to keep God's word. Okay? You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Okay. Come down to verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that I might learn your statutes. Now, what did Jesus tell the disciples just before he was arrested? He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good courage. I've overcome the world. So, That shows that when we have things we need to overcome, we need to go before God and get these things taken care of. Okay? Now let's come to the book of Isaiah. Okay? Book of Isaiah. Isaiah 40. Now the book of Isaiah is good for a lot of things. Many different things are accomplished in it and shows us. Okay? But in the first chapter, it says, there is no soundness in Israel, just bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. Now, isn't that true? Look at all the drugs. Look at all the murders. Look at all the lying, cheating, stealing. Look at all of the permissive sex and perverted sex and alphabet sex. Look at what people do in their daily things. And those people who think they're really, really good people are religious in keeping the holidays of this world. See? But they're so far removed from the truth of the Bible, they can't tell right from wrong. Okay? Isaiah 40 and verse 29. He gives power to the weary. So that's why we have to come to God when we have trials and difficulties. Okay? And in him, with no might, he increases strength. And that's what we need to have. See? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong through the trials. And endure and learn. Okay? Even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So, now's a good time to start renewing your strength if Biden's going to get in so you can handle it the day it comes. Okay. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Now that's the resurrection. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God is there with us in all of these things. And it's going to be quite something. Either way. I mean, just look what happened last night in Washington, D.C., in anticipation of the Trump march on January 6th. They were already out there with Antifa beating up the people who came to peacefully protest. So you see what it's going to be. Either way, it's going to be a difficult situation. Okay? Now, if you think getting Biden is bad enough, wait 6 months. We will have Kamala. I refuse to call her Kamala. Okay? As president. Then what? Okay? So get ready, be armed, be prepared. Okay? Now then. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, now, we can also apply this to us, apply it to the church. My servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, what does it say of us in Galatians 3:29? If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, right? Yes. Whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from its uttermost parts. See? God is the one who calls us. And never forget the day that it really dawned on you what you need to do, and that was the day God chose you. Okay? And I said to you, you are my servant, I've chosen you, and have not cast you away. See? "Do not fear, for I am with you." Regardless of the circumstances, God is always with us. Now, it might get down to just some real tight squeezes, as it were. And every time I read something like that, I think of Jeremiah, just before he was able to escape the invasion, okay? He was thrown into the sewer. So picture yourself in muck up to your chest. All the smell, all the stench, all of that sort of thing. And everyone was ready to leave him alone to die. But a Cushite came, got a lot of rags, tied them together, and helped pull him out. Why? God promised he would live. But also, even if it gets terribly, terribly bad and you think God has left you and there's no hope, he is there to help you. See? So remember that. Don't get despaired and get down because things are not going the way that you think they should or the way that you would like them to do, any of that. Okay? I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So God is the one who is going to see us through it all. Okay? Behold, all those who were angered against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive against you shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them. Men warring against you shall be nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not get anxious. And if you do, go to God in prayer and work it out in prayer. Ask God to help you with how you should think and how you should react, because when some of these things come down, it's going to be very discouraging to an awful lot of people, even in the church. Verse 14, do not fear, you worm Jacob and men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And God will help us in ways that we don't even understand. Okay? So that's quite a thing. Let's come to Psalm 21. This is why we study and pray every day. Every day. And we learn and we grow. And as we do, we'll be able to cope with the difficulties that come. Even if it gets down to where you are so desperate that you're kind of like Jeremiah in the sewer. Okay? He escaped, right? He wasn't taken to Babylon. Everybody else was, except just a few. He stayed back and told them, stay in the land, God will be with you. They said, no, we want to go to Egypt. And then there's one little verse in the book of Jeremiah that just tells us a clue, which is, and the daughters of the king. Now, they all went to Egypt. Okay. Now, why was it necessary, the daughters of the king? Because all the sons of Zedekiah were killed. there was no male heir to the throne. So how was God going to fulfill his promise? Now remember, whenever you get in trouble, remember the promises. But how is God going to fulfill the promise that David would always have a man to sit on the throne? How could he do it if the sons of Zechariah were killed? Or Zedekiah, rather. Well, history tells us, they call it a myth, but it's true, that Jeremiah went to Ireland because the twin of Phares was Zara. And Zara should have been the firstborn from Judah. So when Zara was being born, there were twins, and he put his hand out, and then the midwife put a red string around his wrist, and then he pulled it back in, and Perez was born first. So that's called the breach. And that's what Perez means. So in spite of all the things that went on, now look how many things went on, how many years and wars and difficulties occurred before Jeremiah went to Ireland and married one of the royal princes who happened to be from the house of Zara. Okay? So when it looks like God won't keep his promises, he does. And that's what we need to always understand. Okay? Psalm 21, verse 1. The king shall rejoice in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Now, what we need to do is this. Whenever we get down to the point that it's really rock bottom, think of why God has called us to be his sons and daughters, to live forever, to help rule the world. So if you're upset at all the difficulties going on in the world, we're the ones going to straighten it out. Now that's a great thing, isn't it? Okay. Now verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord. That's what we need to do. Trust in God in all things at all times. And in the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Doesn't matter what happens around you. It matters what happens in your mind. Conversion in God's spirit, that you won't be moved. See. Verse 8. His hand shall find all your enemies. Your right hand shall find those that hate you. Okay. And you shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Okay? Now remember, this one here tie in with Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 15. See? There was Lazarus. Couldn't even get the crumbs from the rich man. But who went to the lake of fire? Lazarus or the rich man? The rich man. See? So it doesn't matter what the circumstances may be. God is with you and for you. See? Now what does he say about death? Blessed is the death of a saint. Because they have finished this physical purpose. Now, a lot of us are going to face that. I know Jonathan and I were talking about last time we had a conference back in Cincinnati. And he said, boy, that was a big crowd. But you look out at the crowd, all gray hairs. Yes, true. And the church also, at the same time we're going through this, we are in the midst of a generational change, correct? Yes, we are. And when that happens, it'll get down to a few. And when that happens, and like it is today, and all of those of you on the live internet hookup, you're in your home alone. But when you combine it all together, as God looks at it, that's quite a number of people that are receiving the message on the Sabbath day. Okay. So God has a way of taking care of all of these things. All right, verse 11. For they intended evil against you, that is God. Okay? Did they not do that against Christ? Here's one of the prophecies of Christ. They were after him from the first day that he walked into the temple area with that scourge, seeking to destroy him. They imagined a wicked thing which they are not able to perform. For you will make them turn their back. They shall aim their arrows upon your strings against their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in strength, so we will sing and praise your power. Now, that's going to be also part of what we're going to be doing when we're on the sea of glass. Okay? Now, Psalm 20, verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. God will send the help one way or another. Okay? A lot of things take place. Okay? Now let's come to Psalm 27. This is quite a psalm. So think about this in relationship to some of the trials you may be facing or go through. 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You don't have to be afraid of anything, anyone, and you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you. We know that a lot of the saints went through a lot of difficult things down through time, and we will too. Okay? Now, verse 7. Okay? So this shows how we need to cry to God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, crying out to God, help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. He will. And be gracious unto me, and answer me when you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. And that's how it is when we come before God, see. So another thing to do is get the Psalms. When you pray, get on your knees, open your Bible, read some Psalms, pray about it. Read some more, ask God to help you, ask him to intervene for you, ask him to show you what you need to do and how you need to do it, and he'll be right there to help you. See? And it will occur. Now, it may take a little while, but it will happen. Okay? Okay, we're almost time, so let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and take a break at this time, and we'll come back in 22 minutes. Okay, welcome back. Let's continue on. Be strong in the Lord. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Now, this is quite a chapter because Paul reveals a lot of how he felt and what he went through. And so this is good for us to know and understand so we can realize that whatever we go through, somebody somewhere in the church is going through it at the same time, but many people going way back have gone through different trials in their lives. So let's start right here in verse 1, because this whole chapter is quite revealing, because it also shows that some of the trials and difficulties come because there are false preachers preaching things they ought not preach because of Satan the devil. Let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. And that's what to really keep in mind. Never give up. You may temporarily be depressed, you may temporarily be down, but take it to God in prayer and he will help you. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, not walking in cunning craftiness. Now, this is for all of the elders and ministers. Some people have told me that there were so many different things going on in the churches of God that it was like guerrilla warfare in some cases. Well, that's a terrible thing to happen within the church. And that's why a lot of people got so discouraged too. Okay? Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That's why everything with the word of God has got to be the truth, and put it together with the truth. Then we can come to understand. If you have partial truth, you don't have all truth. So think of it this way. Truth always agrees with truth. And if you're missing a part of it, don't get upset. Find it. And you will find it and put it together. Okay? Manifestation of truth. We're commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. And if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing. Now, why is it hidden? See? Because God has put the Bible together, as you know, little here, little there, precept there, line upon line. You put it together. See? Now, in whom the God of this age, who's Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. See? You must believe all the Bible. Jesus said, we're to live by every word of God. Jesus said, your word is the truth, and we are sanctified by the truth. See? So let those things encourage you when difficult times come along, because that will see you through it. Okay? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now think about this. Might bring this up so you know also what we're working on. We are working on a second edition of God's plan for mankind, revealed by his Sabbath and holy days. And reading this verse reminded me of it, because if you took that book and just put it under the nose of a Protestant minister, and you would tell him, if you read this book, you'll understand what God is doing. I don't think there's 1 in 100 that would do it. Because their minds are blinded because of what they believe. Verse 5. For we do not preach our own selves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. And that's the way it needs to be, see? It's not authority from the top down. The only authority from the top down is God the Father and Jesus Christ to each one of us with the Holy Spirit. And that's by God's authority. The authority of the ministry is from the ministers up to the brethren, like Jesus said, that if you are going to serve the brethren, you are going to be a servant. Okay? Not above, but below. Because it is God who commanded the light to shine into darkness, who shined into our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here again, what is he doing? He's looking at the goal. So what are their difficulties? Always look at the goal. See? And remember that what we're going through is not any different from what anybody else has gone through. Okay? Now, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that is the treasure of God's Spirit, in order that the supremacy of the power may be of God and not from us. Always from God. Now, in the past, or in whatever church you may have been, you got this little group over here, and this little group over here, and these over here, and so forth, and everybody's kind of competing against the other to see who's going to get the minister's eye, and if they can become whatever they're going to become. That's not what God wants, see? We need to look at it this way, coming direct from God the Father, and Jesus Christ. Verse 8. On every side we are hard pressed. And Paul was. Boy, you read 2 Corinthians 11. What he went through. And I know, whenever you get really down, 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 you go read 2 Corinthians 11. And read what Paul went through. Okay? Just two things. He was beaten 3 times with rods, 5 times with a whip. And he was a day and a night in the deep, so he had to be holding on to some piece of wood or something. And I imagine out there in the middle of nowhere, here he is, God's apostle, no one around, no one knows where he is, he doesn't know if he's going to live, doesn't know if he's going to die, probably praying, oh God, keep the sharks away, you know, because hey, that would be a nice meal, nice legs hanging down in the water, you see. But God rescued him, okay? Hard-pressed. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Okay? In other words, keeping always in mind the very purpose of why Christ died and was raised from the dead. For those of us who are living are always delivered to death for Christ's sakes, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's what it's for. See? So look at it this way. Every trial and test is an opportunity to grow in grace and in knowledge and in faith and an understanding. And in addition to that, you will be able to help others who are going through the same thing. Okay? Quite an important thing. So then on the one hand, death is working in us, and on the other hand, life is working in you. and having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing this, that he who raised the Lord from the dead shall also raise us through Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the abounding grace may cause the thanksgiving of many to overflow unto the glory of God. For this reason, we do not lose heart. Now, that's the sum of everything that he is talking about up to this point. See? So do not lose heart when these things are taking place. See? That's the whole reason. Do not lose heart. But if our outward man is being brought to decay, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's what God wants. See, and it talks about the renewing of our minds, and the Greek word there is metamorphosis. It is a slow changing of the mind by having the laws and commandments of God written in our hearts and written in our minds, and this is how we think, and this is how we get through these difficulties. We see them from the perspective of God, not the perspective of deprivation that the world sees them. Okay? So that's why we have to understand all of these things. Now notice, verse 17, for the momentary lightness of our tribulation. Think of that. Whenever I read that, I think, you better not complain about anything, Fred. You haven't done anything. See? You haven't gone through anything. Well, we've had some difficult times, but not compared to this. Is working out for us our immeasurably greater and everlasting fullness of glory, while we consider not the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So the whole trial that he's going through with his ministry, and he had one of the roughest ones of all. Okay? So you read through the book of Acts and read what he went through. God had to rescue him and send him down to be under house arrest in Caesarea, and had two years of recuperation where he wasn't able to get out and do very much of anything before he went to Rome. So if you look at it that way, and also at that time Luke was able to write the book of Acts and also the gospel. Okay. Now then, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter. Let's see how this worked in his ministry. Colossians 1. So here's the fruit that was produced by all the suffering Paul went through. And notice how he is able to write and encourage the brethren and prepare them. See? First chapter, Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, from the day that we heard of it, that is how well they were doing, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See? That was Paul's central thing, and this is what it needs to be with all of us as elders. It's not that we are important because of what we do. The importance is that we teach the word of God so everyone can grow in grace and knowledge. So here Paul is explaining that to them. So then you look back at all of the difficulties that you go through, just like the Apostle Paul looked back and saw that, okay, and see that it was for their edification and glory and overcoming. Now then later, they also had their own problems. Okay. Verse 10, that you may walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Now think about that. Think about how this is brought out that Paul is saying that they're learning. And that needs to also be with us. Being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. That is through the Holy Spirit. And that's what sees us through all of these difficulties, see. Unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. That's what it will produce. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified. Now think about this. Many times, and we talk about it quite often, that our relationship is direct with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And as we covered last week, that was typified by the tabernacle of David when he had the tabernacle in his own house. Okay? And tabernacle of David being revived and built up is the church in its close connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, if we're close, which we need to be, then we'll be able to overcome, then we'll be able to handle the stress and trauma, then we will be able to handle the difficulties that come, okay? With all endurance and long-suffering, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who personally rescued us from the power of darkness. So think about that for a minute. How did you, how did I, how did everyone end up in the church? God rescued us from the power of darkness. And darkness covers the whole world today. I mean, look at what's going on. This election proves that for sure. Rescued us from the power of darkness and has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, this doesn't mean we're in the kingdom of God because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. But this means we are under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God, the laws and commandments of God, the Spirit of God, and everything that God wants to do for us, in whom we have redemption through his own blood, even the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Now that's a little tricky. We'll see how that is explained in another verse here in just a minute. That doesn't mean that Jesus Christ was born before all creation. But concerning the resurrection, who was first? Jesus. What is God doing with us? Creating in us the character, the mind of Christ, and all the things necessary so we can prepare for the resurrection. And we're being created in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ because we'll see him as he is. See? So that's what it is, and we'll see it explained in just a second here, a little bit. Because by him were all things created, the things in heaven, the things on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by and for him. Okay. Think about that. Being called of God into this relationship with him and Jesus Christ. There is nothing on this earth, no king, no queen, no prince, no president, nor governor, nothing on this earth is greater than this, and God has conferred it upon us, his saints, and all the saints down through time. That's what's important. Okay. And he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. So there, that explains that verse previously. The firstborn from among the dead. So that in all things he himself might hold the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now think about what that's going to be for us. See? An amazing thing. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether the things on the earth or the things in heaven. For you were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, but now he has reconciled you. Okay. Now think about what this verse says. You were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's why the conversion is of the heart and mind. Now, verse 22, to present you holy, unblameable, and unimpeachable before him, if. Okay. Now, go back to verse 9, and all of this leads up to this if. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Not moved, not dejected, but grounded. And who is the stone? Christ, the chief cornerstone, right? And we are grounded on that. See? That's what it has to be. We can't be, like James says, that if you don't believe, then you're like unstable water. No, grounded and steadfast. That's quite a comparison, isn't it? Huh? Here, let's look at it. Let's go back to James 1, just a few pages back. See what James says about that. And remember, James was the half-brother of Jesus. Verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And endurance is a keeping at it in spite of everything that comes along. But let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking in anything. However, if anyone lacks in wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to everyone freely and does not reproach the one who asks, and it shall be given to him. Verse 6. But, see, here's how not to do it. If anyone, let him ask in faith, not doubting at all, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven by the wind and tossed to and fro. Do not let that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay? So water is unstable. It can be vapor. It can be water. It can be ice. It can be separated into oxygen and hydrogen. Now, water is so unstable that if there is a 1% decline, water will start running. Okay? But if you have endurance and if you have strength, strength spiritually, then none of those things will come upon you. Okay? Back here, Colossians 1 and verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, not giving up, and steadfast, not being moved, not unstable as water. Now here, chapter 1, verse 23, Colossians again. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was proclaimed to all creation. Now, he didn't get it to all creation, but it's going to be. So this is what is called a prophetic perfect. It's as if it is done, because God said it will be. Now that means in this age, what's going to happen during the millennium? What's going to be preached? The gospel of the kingdom, the plan of God. What's going to be preached during the great white throne judgment? Exactly the same thing. See? Until all, there it is. Okay. Let's come to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. Okay. In verse 1. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Indeed, for me to write some of the things to you, it is not troublesome, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now that is not referring to canines. That's referring to those evil people who want to take away your faith. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are of the circumcision who serve God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, Colossians, the second chapter, says we have the circumcision made without hands by baptism. So the physical circumcision have been superseded by the spiritual circumcision. And that spiritual circumcision is the conversion of the mind and the getting rid of the hostility that is in the mind toward God and His Word. We are the circumcision who serve God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and do not trust in the flesh. You can't say, well, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. So what? If you're not with Christ, what are you? Doesn't matter if you're a king or a lord or whatever, okay? So he says this, though I might also have reason to trust in the flesh, if any other thinks he has cause to trust in the flesh, I have much more, okay? Circumcised the eighth day. So he reiterates everything that it was for him to be a Pharisee. And he says, of the race of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, with respect to law, a Pharisee. Now you also need our book, Judaism, a Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. Okay? With respect to zeal, persecuting the church, and he never forgot that. I imagine one of the motivating things in his life, because it's brought up here and he brings it up in other places, was that he remembers the look and the anguish on those that he arrested and led off to prison and caused to blaspheme. Now that's quite a thing to live with, even though he was forgiven, even though he was an apostle of God. But that was always a humbling thing for him. With respect to righteousness that is in law, notice it doesn't say the law. In law means the traditions of the Jews. Okay? Blameless. Yet the things that were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss for the sake of Christ. That's why the baptismal covenant is a symbolic death. We die in that watery grave. We die to the gain and things in this world and look to the kingdom of God and salvation through Christ. So he says, but then truly I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung that I may gain Christ. See? That's quite an important and profound thing, isn't it? And may be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, but the righteousness that is by faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that is based on faith, and that is within us. How then we live and obey and what our lives are like. Okay? That I may know him. See? Again, notice how in every one of the epistles of Paul, he always pointed to the goal. And this is why it's important for us when we have difficult times we're going to face. Always look to the goal. Because regardless of how good or bad it may be, it's temporary and it's all going to go one day anyhow. Okay? And we may be the ones that have to live through it. And if we're the ones who have to live through it, we have to take it the right way, right? Imagine what it was like being in Jerusalem when the rebellion of the Jews against the Romans began in 66, the summer of 66 AD. Okay? And then the Romans let them all in, and by 70 AD, it was an awful sight to behold. Everything was destroyed. And that's exactly as Jesus said it would take place, right? Okay. Be found in him. Oh, continuing here. That I may know him, power of the resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So he looked at every difficult thing he went through as part of a continuation of the same kind of thing that Jesus went through. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Again, the goal. Not as though I have already received or have already been perfected. No. We don't look along and say, oh, look at how perfect I am today. Well, if you said that, look out tomorrow, you may have something to prove otherwise. Okay? But I'm striving. That's the whole purpose of all of it. So that we strive, we grow, we change, we overcome, so that I may also lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, now think about this. This is absolutely true. The only time it could be said that we have made it is when? Is when? When you give your last breath in faith. You can't say you've really made it until then. Okay, but this one thing I do. So here's what we need to do. Forgetting the things that are behind, and he had a lot of things to forget that were behind, okay? And reaching forth to the things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this is the attitude we need when we're confronted with trials and difficulties that are going to come. And we know one of the biggest trials is going to come on January 6th and January 20th. And then everything to follow from that. So then, look at this. Here's the conclusion of this for us. So then, let as many as be perfect be of this mind. See? So think about that. If there's anything in your mind that you're still holding on to that now you know you need to get rid of, pray and ask God to help you get rid of it. Especially if it's something between brethren within the church. Solve the problem. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? If you have fault with one another, go to him alone. Solve the problem. That's what God wants. Now, if the person is already dead, then what you need to do, you need to forgive in your mind and in your heart your feelings that you had toward that individual, because that is what is a cog that is missing in your relationship with God. And when you do that, you will be amazed how that's going to lift a burden right off your mind, okay? Because you can't go around holding a grudge against people regardless of what it may be, okay? Forgive them, okay? So then he says here, after pressing, verse 15, so then as many as be perfect, be of this mind. Looking forward, forgetting the things behind. Now notice next, because this is important. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God, with his Spirit, will reveal even this to you. Why? So you can repent. That's why. God wants us to repent. And the way we are today, we've got stuff to repent of every day, right? Yes. Nevertheless, in regard to that which you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Okay? So then here's what it needs to be. Okay? Brethren, be imitators together of me and bear in mind those who walk in this way as you have us for an example. Then he says, there are many who have gone and are not doing that. They have left, okay, whose end is destruction. Now, verse 20. But for us, the commonwealth of God exists in the heavens, from where also we're waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body according to the inner workings of his own power, whereby he's able to subdue all things to himself. So there we have it, brother. So as we look for the next couple of weeks that are coming down, and all the difficulties that we're going to be seeing on the news and thinking about all the problems that are going to take place with it, keep your mind on these things with this message so that you will have a proper perspective and yet take that on beyond so that we can make progress in everything that we do. So be strong in the Lord.